we'll pause here for a minute just to summarize what we had till now, and we'll start from the point again, and it's a shame when we continue the next year. What Rav Nosson Zal is going to do here is he's drawing an analogy between this concept of Shiluach HaKan, between a mother and her children, versus the concept of Machshava and Maisa. Because we know that the Arizal reveals to us that everything that goes on in this world corresponds to the 10 spheres, to the 10 midos of Hashem. These midos are broken up into different sections that represent different things. The three upper midos represent the concept of Machshava, the seven lower ones represent the concept of Maisa. We know a concept of Dibur and Maisa. Now we know that there's no way that anything can happen in this world, that anything can come out lemaisa without first going through a thought process. Just as the light of Hashem, as it's presented to this world, it goes through these 10 steps first. It goes through this keser chochma bina chesed gur teferes netzach yisoid malchus, and it's the malchus. It's the light that has passed through these 10 levels, which the Malchus distributes and disseminates to the entire world. So too, any time a person wants to do anything in this world, the item has to pass through these different stages before it can take place. Now, Rav Nosson Zal is going to zero in on one area within this step ladder specifically, that area being Bina, which is obviously the bridge between Machshava and Maisa. Bina is the bottom one of the top three, the unit of the top three that represent Machshava. It's the basement of the upper three, and it's the roof of the lower seven. That's the point of joining together of the three upper spheres, the seven lower ones. That's the point where Machshava and Dibur and Maisa are joined together, are hooked together. And Rav Nosson Zal says, everybody knows that it's basic thought in Sifrei Kabbalah, that one of the nicknames for Bina is, it's called the mother who hovers over the children. Because as we explained, these spheres, these midos of Hashem, are also looked upon as a family. Kaviyochel, as if we could say it's a concept of a family with a grandfather, different stages, different levels. Each time we talk about a higher level, a higher age level, we're talking about a greater degree of kindness, higher degree of chasodim. So Rav Nosson Zal says here, we know that Bina is referred to as the mother, Eim Habonim, this mother who hovers over her children. The Pasuk says, Mishlei Ki Eim LaBina Tikra, Bina is called a mother, and this mother hovers over her children to protect them. The mother is very, very closely attached to the children, as is common knowledge, and as is not shown throughout the Torah. And Rav Nosson Zal is going to show, Rav Nosson Zal wants to point out now, that even though it appears to us in a sense as if these are two different items, Machshava versus Dibur and Maisa, the fact is that these are very, very closely hooked up together. And even once an item starts entering into the stage of Maisa, or into the stage of Dibur, until the Dibur and Maisa is completely, completely Nishlam, the Machshava is still very solidly attached there. And the mind is still thinking and still planning, maybe I didn't do this right, maybe I should change this, make it a little better, then the thing will come out great. This whole thought process that goes on, that's all representing Bina, this lowest one that's Kohel, Keser and Chochma above it, that's staying with the Maisa. It's staying with the seven lower spheres even while they're doing their thing. The Bina, the mother, is not letting go. Just as when it comes to the birth of a child, we said, while the baby is being born, the mother is certainly attached. But even after the baby comes out, we see the attachment to the mother doesn't finish even there. Until the baby has been nursed past the first 30 days, and for a few months, and even after that, the mother has to provide food and clothing, all the different things. So the mother is very solidly attached to the baby until it's nishlam, until the baby is a grown person and able to stand on its own two feet independently completely. And Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain how a person deals with the machshava. In other words, if I know that before I do any item in serving Hashem, it has to go through these processes before it gets into maisa, and even when I'm actually doing a maisa hamitzvah, the mind is still thinking. What do I do if the mind is playing tricks on me? What if the mind makes a person think that he's not doing that well? All the different tricks that a person's mind can play on him, what is he supposed to tell the mind? What's he supposed to do with the mind? What is he supposed to do with this mother bird? This is what Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain in the rest of this halacha, and this is going to tie into what we're learning in this chapter in the Likutei Moran in terms of the akshonos, the stubbornness that a person has to have in Avodas Hashem, not to let anything be mevalvel him, not to let anything knock him off the track from completing the mission that he wants to complete, completing the mitzvah that he started, that he knows he has to do, that he wants to complete, from being able to get to a successful completion. And mitzvah Hashem, the next year we're going to get into the substance of this. Hopefully that's where we're going to get to understand what's going on here much better. Any questions?
You say in a sense that sometimes this, let's say, handoff of the machshava, and the machshava continuing throughout the actual maisa, could be a negative force.
100%. As we see in this mitzvah, that the instructions of Hashem is going to be shaleach teshaleach esaim v'sabonim tikach. That there are times when you have to send away the mother. It seems like these two, why would you dream of wanting to separate them? There's a time when the mother bird can do harm to her own young, and it's only if she's sent away that the young can function properly. And so too, when it comes to a maisa mitzvah, at times a person has to be able to shut down the brain, send away the thinking process, not to allow it to dominate this maisa, and chas v'shalom mess up the maisa mitzvah. There's going to be a real, real beautiful explanation here. That's a shame.
Why is harshness connected with this bina?
What the relationship is?
Why is it connected with this?
Okay. We'll try to present it as simple as we can, as simple as we know it. When we talk about the spheroids, when we talk about the sphere of Keser, the crown of Hashem, there, the Zohar HaKadosh says, within the Keser, there is no concept of good and bad, of right and left. There is only one. In the Keser, there's only one. It's only once the light of Hashem goes down a lower level, it takes a step down to the next tier in this building, the tier called Chochma and Bina. That's where there first begins a concept of two. A concept of two. Once you have a concept of two, automatically there's a concept of a right and a left. Because within two, within one, if you only have one, you can't say the right side or the left side. There's only one, there is no right and left. Within two, automatically there's a right and there's a left. This right and left, Kaviyochel Hashem says that Chochma represents the right side, Bina is the left side. And although this is on the highest level of Kiddusha possible, this is within Machshava, this is a super high level of Kiddusha, this is where there first begins to exist a concept of a left. And therefore, the whole concept of Din, of a yet of evil, Toiv and Ra, good and bad, are also a concept of two. A concept of right and left, where the correspondence that Hashem has designated is that Toiv is on the right, Ra is on the left. Automatically we see how the left corresponds to the left. And the concept of Ra is something which in its highest origin, it originates from Bina, from the left side.
Baruch Hashem.
What we're saying now is a little deep, but on the other hand, it's very easy. If a person wants to apply their mind to it, you could understand this, and this is going to be very, very beneficial. Rav Nosson Zal is going to come up with some practical advice. A person who wants to do a mitzvah, know that this is what you're going to be faced with. This is what's going to come at you. And if you know this law in the Torah of Shiluah HaKan, and you understand what this means, what this represents, you're going to know how to succeed in being misakin these neshamas hanefulim, how to be able to elevate these neshamas hanefulim, which are elevated anytime a Jew is zeichet to accomplish an act of Torah, a tefillah, a mitzvah, bishleimus. That's when a person actually is ma'aleviz nefeshes, you know, as we said before.
We're continuing on Torah Memtes and Likutei Moran Tanina. In the last shiur, we had started learning a piece of Likutei Halachos that explains and expands this Torah Likutei Moran. The piece of Likutei Halachos was in Yoredeya, Hilchas Shiluach HaKan, Halacha Dalet, where Rabbi Nosson Zal goes into a very lengthy, beautiful discussion on the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, showing how that relates to the main theme of this Torah Likutei Moran that we just learned. For many different reasons, I'd like at this point to stop where we had left off last time in terms of going inside the Sefer and step outside the Sefer and do a short review of what we said up until this point, and then continue outside the Sefer to try to capture the majority of what was in this halacha. In the Torah Likutei Moran that we had learned, this Torah Memtes, one of the most important points that Rabbi Nezal made was that he was emphasizing that when a person first starts becoming religious, or any time a person first starts climbing to a new level, it's very, very difficult. As the Gemara itself says, Kol hascholos koshos, all beginnings are difficult. So any time, every day, a person wakes up in the morning, that's a new beginning. The Torah says every day constitutes a new beginning, and therefore, logically, every single human being, the minute he opens up his eyes and wants to pull himself out of bed, that's one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult, chores of the day. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, the first statement in Shulchan Aruch is, Yizgaber ko'ari lamay babeker, that a person has to strengthen himself like a lion, summon up the strength of a lion to get up in the morning. Forget the strength of a lion. What about the strength of a parrot? That's, you know, what's the big deal? You tell me I need the strength of a lion to go through a cement wall. You want me to go on a kamikaze mission? I can understand saying I have to gather up the strength of a lion. But to get out of bed in the morning, I need the strength of a lion? What are we being so dramatic for? The answer is, because of the fact that this represents a new haschala, a new beginning in serving Hashem, a new day means a whole new world, brand new world, that you're going to be shown new players, new sotom, new tests, new everything. And the Gemara testifies that the nature, Hashem's nature and the nature of Judaism is that anytime there's a haschala, anytime there's a beginning, it's kosher, it's very difficult. So you're being warned in advance that if you're going to go into this expecting 5 pounds of pressure, and you're going to try to budge this thing, and you're going to see there's 5,000 pounds on it, you're going to be in for a big surprise. You're going to get nowhere. Whereas if you're going to start off, when you turn on your engine, you're going to be looking for 5,000 pounds of push. You know that what's expected of you is to start off like a lion. You're going to be ready to start off powerful enough to possibly be able to budge what you have to budge and get through what you have to get through. This is one of the points that Rabbi Nezal made in this Torah, and Rabbi Nezal emphasized that it takes tremendous akshonus, tremendous stubbornness when it comes to serving Hashem. Because Rabbi Nezal said there are many bilbulim that come to a person who's first making a new beginning, the satan is going to play so many different games with this person and try to use so many different ideas, whether it be menias in terms of parnosa, in terms of friends, in terms of family, to throw thousands of obstacles in front of the person that are going to serve as excuses as to why the person shouldn't be making this new beginning. Or the satan's going to prove to the person that there's no way you're going to succeed, there's no way you're going to become any big tzaddik, and I have a list of a billion different reasons why, and a billion different excuses why you shouldn't even try, etc., etc. And Rabbi Nezal warned that a person should close their eyes to all of this and just stubbornly be persistent at hammering away at mitzvahs, at ma'asim tovim, at Torah, at tefillah. And a person will see that if they show this stubbornness, at one point in time, they're going to see that they break through. They crash through a solid barrier, and then it becomes smooth sailing for a substantial period of time until they come to the next major roadblock and major obstacle. And that's when this whole procedure starts up again. And each time, Rabbi Nissan emphasized that a person has to be able to close their mind to all of these bilbulim that the satan throws at a person that serve to prevent a person from making any major advancement in Frumkeit, in Torah, in everything, to be able to close one's mind to this. Now, Rav Nosson Zal, in Likutei Halachos, in discussing one of the laws in Shulchan Aruch that seems to be as unrelated as you could possibly imagine to this subject, a law of Shiluah HaKan, which is based on a clear pasuk in the Torah, where the Torah writes, Hashem says that if a Jew will be traveling on the road and he will happen to notice a nest of birds and he'll want to take the young birds for himself, there is a requirement, an obligation, to first send away the mother bird before taking these baby birds, these chicks, onto yourself. Period. And there are many laws related to this, and there's a chapter in Yoredeya, in Shulchan Aruch, that's devoted to this subject, based on all the statements in the Gemara, and in the Rishonim and Achronim about this. There's a whole set of laws and criteria as to when this applies, how, what happens if the mother bird tries to come back. You have to keep sending it away. The pasuk says, Shaleach Teshalach Esaim. It doesn't say Shaleach Esaim, send away the mother. It says, send away, you should send away the mother. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara says from this, that this means you have to be stubborn. If the mother bird persists in coming back, you have to be forceful, send it away again and again, afilo me'aponim, even 100 times. However, there's one certain exceptional case where if you've taken the birds to yourself, then you place them back into the nest, and then the mother bird comes back over them, then you don't have to send away the mother bird anymore. There's all kinds of laws that relate to this. Rav Nosson Zal shows how this law in the Torah is very closely associated with this concept that Rabbeinu Zal is presenting in this chapter on the Likutei Moran. And it's based on an introduction from the Kisvei Arizal, from the Zohar Kodesh. We know that anything and everything in this world corresponds to, and draws its power from, its life source from Hashem. Everything and anything in this world. The term Hashem is a very broad term, and we could widen it or limit it as much as we want. In other words, if we want to describe Hashem, we could describe Hashem in one word, Hashem Echod, Hashem is one, and that single praise makes Hashem bigger and greater than anything else you could imagine. Because there's nothing in existence that's as much one as Hashem. Everything else you can have two of, or you can have millions of. Hashem is the only thing in existence where there could only be one. And that's as great as you could possibly get. So with that statement, Hashem Echad, we've gone as high as we possibly could, in a sense, in praising Hashem. And yet, on the other hand, if one looks in the Gemara, and in Tehillim, and in all these Sforim HaKdoshim, we see that Hashem didn't want to limit us in this way. Hashem didn't want us only to be able to talk about Him one word and finish. The speech is over, the tefillah is over. Hashem gets a certain kind of nachas, and there's a certain major accomplishment when we speak, when we elaborate in discussing Hashem. For example, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, mitzvah lesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim. There's a mitzvah to speak a lot, v'chol hamarbe b'sipur yitzias Mitzrayim hariz ha'meshubach. There's a mitzvah to speak a lot about the miracle that Hashem took the Jews out of Egypt, and the more you say, the better it is. And the Zohar Kodesh asks the obvious question, what for? What has Hashem got, an ego that needs to be satisfied? And that's why we're going to talk chas v'shalom? Or in other words, what could possibly be conceivable as a reason for this? And the Zohar Kodesh shows that there's something very, very major accomplished. When we speak about the praises of Hashem and we elaborate about it, there's something fantastic that goes on in heaven at that time, and it's a very, very major achievement and accomplishment. Therefore, the Tikkun Ezer says that on the simplest level, if we want to talk about Hashem and we want to broaden it to more than one, the next level after one is 10. The Tikkuni Zohar, which works basically in Mispar Koton, whereby any time we deal with a number, we always reduce it. We eliminate the zeros. We reduce the number. We take away the tens units or the hundreds units or the thousands units. We reduce it to one. The closest thing to one is 10, in a sense, because 10 could easily become one by simply reducing the zero, taking away nothing from it, in a sense, and it becomes one. And the Tikkuni Zohar says, based on a pasuk in Tehillim, that David HaMelech says, Zeh Hashar Lashem, Tzadikim Yavoi Yavoi, that this is the gate to Hashem. Tzadikim will enter through this gate. But Tikkuni Zohar says, what is this gate that leads a person to Hashem, that brings a person very close to Hashem, through which tzaddikim, only very privileged people, are zecher to enter through this gate? The Tikkuni Zohar says the word hasha'ar is also the letters ho'eser, the 10. These ten midas of Hashem, these 10 attributes of Hashem, they are a gateway to heaven. They are a stairway to heaven. By studying and getting to know and getting acquainted with the 10 attributes of Hashem, this is how Hashem allows us to come close to Him. This gives us a much deeper understanding of Hashem, and this literally brings us much closer to Hashem than a person who doesn't know about these ten attributes of Hashem. And these 10 attributes we've mentioned many times in our shiurim: Keser, Chochma, Bina, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Chod, Yesod, Malchus, which are broken out there into many different breakdowns. We discussed different breakdowns in analyzing these 10 midos of Hashem, these 10 qualities or characteristics or foundations of Hashem, attributes of Hashem. One of the major ways of looking at these two items, at these 10 qualities of Hashem, is that they're broken out into two sections. One section is called machshava, thought. The second section is called maisa, action. We know that lahavdil, by human beings, there exist two sections to the body, basically. In other words, we could break up the body into two divisions. The head, representing one very major significant section, versus the rest of the body. The head itself, the most important function of the head, unquestionably, is the thinking process and everything that's tied into that. The chamisha chushim, the 5 senses, sight, hearing, smell, touch, taste, which are all tied into the brain, unquestionably. It's the nervous system, which every part of the body is plugged into the brain through the central nervous system and all the different attachments and associations, versus the remainder of the body from the neck down, where you have the basic 7 clay maisa, the 7 major organs or sections of action: the 2 hands, the 2 feet, the bris kodesh, the trunk of the body, and the bottom of the feet, the lower portion of the feet, which represents the malchus. And this is how it's broken out within these spheros. It's discussed when we discuss Hashem kaviyochel, by Hashem, who is one, and everything about Hashem is one. Hashem has given us permission to discuss Hashem in this manner. This is an introduction that's brought in the Zohar Kodesh, the Sifrei Kabbalah, that this is actually a kindness on the part of Hashem. Were Hashem not to allow us to refer to Him in this way, we would be extremely limited in what we could say about Hashem. It's out of Hashem's infinite kindness that Hashem allows us to understand Hashem in these many different ways via the many different names. This is why Hashem has so many different names in the Torah. It seems ridiculous. If Hashem is one, wouldn't it be most appropriate that one should only have one name? Why is it that Kavilcho Hashem has hundreds of names? This again is a chesed on the part of Hashem, that Hashem wanted to give us thousands and millions and billions and infinite different ways of getting to understand everything about Hashem, or all there is to understand about Hashem that we possibly can.
again, going back to our specific subject, you have these two sections, Machshava and Maisa. The three upper attributes of Hashem, Keser, Chochmah, and Bina, as they're referred to sometimes, or Chochmah, Bina, and Das, as they're referred to at other times, these represent Machshava, the thinking process, the brain. They correspond to what Lahavdol science calls the three physical parts of the brain, the cerebrum, the cerebellum, and the medulla. Whereas the seven lower parts of Odom Ha'elyon, Kaviyachol, Hashem allows us to picture Hashem only in an imaginary way, as if this were a heavenly human form with these different parts. The seven lower parts represent the Klei HaMaiser, corresponding to the 7 days in which the Shiva Yemei HaMaiser, the 7 days in which Hashem made everything that he wanted to make, or the Maiser Bereishis, as it's called, the act of the beginning of the world, took place in 7 days, corresponding to these seven attributes of Hashem, Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, Yisrael, Malchus, etc. Rav Nosenthal explains that this mitzvah, Shiluach HaKan, where we're talking about taking these young chicks onto yourself, what does this represent? The Zohar HaKadosh says that from the time that Adam and Chava ate from the Tree of Wisdom, Adam HaRishon originally was a composite of all 600,000 neshamos of Bnei Israel, all rolled up into one. When Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, what happened was many of these neshamas that were plugged into Adam HaRishon that were apart scattered. Some scattered within the areas of civilization in a sense. Some got scattered into the furthest recesses of the world, into an exile, a sense, a golos, where it's very, very difficult to get these neshamas or these nefeshes back together or back to where they're supposed to be, to be able to function, to be able to accomplish what they're supposed to accomplish. Each and every single time a yid performs a mitzvah or does a good deed, he helps to return these nidchei Yisrael, mekabetz tekabe shefa gadol chareseinu, v'soneis lekabetz kliyaseinu, v'kabtzeinu yachad me'arba kanfei soretz, mekabetz nidchei amo Yisrael. There's a tremendous significance to gathering together these nidochim, these neshamos that are nidchei, that have been scattered and lost in all kinds of different ways, and we're looking to bring them back together, to reunite them and bring them, return them to their origin, which represents a concept of Olam HaTikun, where everything will be corrected and perfected, etc. Anytime a Jew does a sin, Chas V'Shalom, he commits a sin, he causes this to get to worsen. This situation worsens, where these neshamas go into a deeper exile. They get lost more, and it becomes harder and harder to correct this whole situation. Rav Nosenthal explains, based on the Zohar HaKadosh says that when the Torah presents this mitzvah of taking these chicks onto oneself, these chicks that a person finds baderech on the road, the Zohar HaKadosh says that this represents these neshamos that are on the road. They're scattered. They're not in a house. They're not in a building. They're on the road. They're out there on the road, on the street, strewn around in a sense, and they need to be brought back. They need to be returned to their origin. If a person wants to accomplish this act of taking these chicks, these young, defenseless neshamos in a sense, that are so weak because they're so far from their origin, and he wants to be able to bring them back to their origin, how? Through doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, every mitzvah that a Jew does, every drop of Torah that he learns, every good deed that he does, helps to accomplish this. The Torah extends a warning that in trying to do this, there's going to be a satan involved, a yetzirah. How is the satan going to attempt to prevent you from doing a mitzvah, from studying Torah? He's going to try to prevent you by putting thoughts in your mind, by bombarding the person with all kinds of babbling, all kinds of excuses why you can't succeed, you're never going to make it, or all the different reasons and babbling, parnosa, family, all the different excuses that a person has to prevent them from studying Torah or from climbing and trying to get close to Hashem and all the different things. This is what the Sultan is going to try to do.
And Rav Nissim, this is where Rav Nissim steps in. In other words, he's taking the foundation that we have in this chapter in the Kutaran and what the Zohar HaKadosh says, and now blending it together. Rav Nissim says, based on what's written in the Sifrei Kabbalah, this thinking process, which is represented by Keser, Chochmah, and Bina, these three spheres, it's culmination, the point at which thought results in action, in speech or in action, is at Bina. In other words, Bina represents the bottom point of this machshava, of the thinking process, and the beginning of Maisa. That's where the connection takes place between machshava and Maisa. Therefore, Rav Nissim says, you'll note, in the Sifrei Kabbalah, Bina, that one of the nicknames given to this attribute of Hashem called Bina is, it's called Eim Habonim, the mother of the children, because these seven lower attributes of Hashem, these seven lower midos of Hashem, are referred to as children, compared to the three upper midos of Hashem, that are referred to as parents and grandparents. Chochmah and Bina are referred to as parents, and the Zohar Kodesh proves this from Pesukim in the Torah. The Pesuk says by Yosef HaTzadik that he was called Avreich, his nickname was Avreich, and the Torah says because he was Av B'Chochmah, he was a father in Chochmah, and Rach, young B'Shonim, in years. So we see that Av, father, represents Chochmah. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Ki Eim Labina Tikra, that Bina is called a mother. So we see that Chochmah and Bina represent the concept of father and mother. Keser, the crown, is referred to as a still higher level, that's called Sovin, a grandparent, a concept of a grandparent, a still higher level. Rav Nosson Zal says that the Torah tells us that when a person is going to want to do a Maise HaMitzvah, he's going to want to take these young chicks onto himself, these bonim, these children, he's going to want to do something, a Maise, an act of Avodas Hashem. And the mother bird, these machshavos, these thoughts that are represented by the mother, Bina, which is the culmination of this whole thought process, is going to be standing there over him as an obstacle in preventing him from being able to act, being able to daven, being able to do a mitzvah. This whole thinking process is going to be mevalvel. He's going to think and think and think, and days and weeks and months are going to go by, and his thinking is going to result in nothing. It's just the Sultan's ruse of slowing him down, of not letting him become a complete success in religion and serving Hashem. The Torah warns the person, Shaleach Tishalach Esa'im. Send away the mother. Not send away once, send away and send away again. Anytime you see these bilbulim coming, ignore them. Your job is to ignore them. Don't try to think it out. Don't do any big thinking and figuring, how am I going to finish Shas? In other words, it's going to take 8 years and it's going to take 15 years and by that, all this thinking, there's no thinking when it comes to serving Hashem. Pshitus, do. Just do as much as you can. If you're doing, Hashem will give you a hatzlacha. You'll see that the figures won't jive. It'll look like you should have accomplished so many pages, and you'll accomplish 100 times as much as you ever imagined you could accomplish. And this I've seen in Sforim, and I heard it from Rebbe Zal, and any person who started in learning will tell you that they never imagined that they would get as far as they got if they did it, if they went ahead and did it. When they were first starting, it looked like, if I get to do 100 pages, if I get in my whole lifetime to learn 100 pages in Gemara and get to know it, it'll be the biggest accomplishment in the world. And once the person got started, if he was able to close his mind to all the bilbulim, all the different thoughts with which the Sultan deals on each and every person on his own level, giving him his own set of bilbulim, to prevent the person from doing, a person will see that he'll be successful way beyond his furthest imaginations.
this is what Rav Moshe Zal says is being alluded to in this mitzvah Shirur HaKan. Now, because we're saying it outside, we're leaving out a lot of the details, a lot of the specifics that Rav Moshe Zal uses to prove this from the technicalities of this mitzvah Shirur HaKan as presented in the Shulchan Aruch and based on what Rabbeinu Zal said and the Arizal says. But the major concept, I think, we've presented, and I'm saying this ties in with what Rabbeinu Zal said about this akshonus in doing when it comes to Maisa HaMitzvah, learning or davening, whatever it is, and any time these thoughts try to come to hold that are holding the person back from doing, just push it away. Ignore it. Don't get involved in any discussion with these thoughts. Don't try to figure it out and plan and get zero. Just do. Anytime there's an opportunity available to do, do, and you're going to see that the hatzlacha that you'll have could be way, way beyond your wildest imaginations that a person would ever get this far when it comes to religion. Any questions? Okay. Now let's continue. It's a shame we're going to do the next Torah and Likutei Moran inside, which is Torah.
Yes. How does the
Because the mother, ki ein la bina tikkun, the mother represents bina, which is an aspect of machshava, and it's the aspect of machshava that's closest to maisa, which means, what Moshe Zal had explained, based on the writings of the Arizal, this is very important. We left out this point, this is something we mentioned last week, but let's fill it in now again. But Moshe Zal explained that the Zohar HaKadosh says that you should know that there is nothing whatsoever in this world, in this Olam HaAsiyah, that takes place without going through three stages, three phases. The three phases are Machshava, Dibur, and Maaseh. Nothing whatsoever happens in this world. A person trips. He's walking and he trips. That act of tripping, which took an eighth of a second, that stumbling, there was a Machshava, Dibur, and Maaseh. A thought, a speech, and an action that took place. Rav Moshe Zal says, quoting the Zohar Kodesh, that the less significant items, obviously this happens in a billionth of a second at times. We don't see it. But the Zohar Kodesh says you should know that this is a fact. Nothing comes into Maisa in this world without going through these two phases first. And the Zohar Kodesh says, in fact, this is hinted to in the word Odom. The word for mankind has these three components. The Mem stands for Maisa, the Dalet stands for Dibur, and the Aleph stands for Machshava. Va'a'alefcha Chochma. There's a pasuk, I will teach you wisdom. The letter Aleph represents Pele, wonder, which is one of the nicknames of Keser. The Aleph represents Machshava. No question about that. So that the word Odom means machshava, aleph is machshava, dalet is deeper, the mem is maisa, the Zohar HaKadosh says. Therefore, Rav Moshe Zal says, because of the fact that before you get to deeper or maisa, it must originate from machshava, there's a connection between, in other words, these three are locked together. And Rav Moshe Zal says what happens many times when a person's about to get to the stage of Dibur, he's about to speak to Hashem in Tefillah, asking Hashem to help him to succeed, etc., etc. What happens is, because the Machshava is interlocked with the Dibur and Maisa, what happens is, via that conduit called Machshava, there comes in a jet stream of machshavos zarois, of bilbulin, that look to knock out this whole thing, that's this process that's about to take place. We're about to transfer from machshava into dibur and maisa, and suddenly a flow of outside machshavos come in and disconnect. They won't allow the person to go from thought to dibur and maisa. And the warning that's being given is, be ready for it, just like the Shulchan Aruch says, Yiskaper Kari Lama Babaker, why am I telling it to you? Because you should know that every single morning when you're about to wake up, there's a guy that woke up 1 minute before you and got dressed real fast, and he loaded his cannon and he's got it pointed right at your head, and he's just waiting patiently for the second you're going to want to get up, he's going to want to zap you, push you right back down.
And therefore you're being told, Yizgaber Kari, it's the same thing here. You're being told that as soon as you're going to want to enter into the realm of Dibur and Maisa, which is represented by these Tziporim, the Gemara throughout the Gemara, Tzipor is called a chatterbox. It's the one, the thing, the korban, that a metzora, that a person that tells the Lashon Hara brings, his korban is Shtei Tziporim Chayes Taheres. The Gemara says, why? Because the Gemara says, this person was a chatterbox. He spoke what he shouldn't have. He spoke Lashon Hara against another Jew. His korban will also be a chatterbox. Birds, specifically. So we know that birds represent Dibur, specifically. And Bonim, this concept, the word that's used in the Torah, the Bar Mitzvah Shil HaKan, is Leisikach Eim Al HaBonim. Bonim is the nickname of the seven lower spheres. They're called Bonim, whereas Chochmah and Bina are called Av and Eim, and Keser is called the Sodim. So when a person's going to want to take the Bonim, which represent the seven lower spheres, which represent Maise, so in other words, the birds, and the Bonim represent Dibur and Maise. When a person's going to want to take that, you should know that there's going to be an act of Shalayach HaSa'im, that there's going to be outside thoughts that are going to be battering you and bombarding you. Be prepared to push them away, to throw them away. And there's a reluctance initially, because some of these thoughts make sense. Some of these calculations seem to make sense, that I have valid excuses as to why I shouldn't start learning. Because there's no way at this age, I'm 30, there's no way I can ever catch up, and it's meaning all the different assorted bilbulim that each and every person gets. Each person knows themselves and knows how the sultan is dealing with them at a personal level. The instruction that's being given is Shalach Tishalach Islam. Very stubbornly, be stubborn. You see this aim, this mother coming, push it away again and again, no matter how many times you have to do it. And just put on blinders and just go ahead with your maisa hamitzvah that you want to do, whether it be learning or davening or whatever it is, period.
In the rest of chasing the mother away, taking the birds, the mother bird be there, or if the nest is...
If the mother's not there, you don't have the requirement, obviously.
If the mother's not there, you don't have to take the egg.
Of course not.
Should you wait for the mother to return then chase it?
The answer is, there's a whole set of laws in Shulchan Aruch that describe all the intricacies of this law. Else, this is something, the first word there is ki yikore kan tzibor, if you will happen to come upon this. And the first item the Gemara learns is that this mitzvah, you can't plan. You're not permitted, like if you wait there for the mother bird, it's no good. No more mitzvah. Mm-hmm. It has to happen. The word yikori means happen. If it happens to come out exactly this way, that's when this mitzvah comes into being.
And also, if it's in a tree and you see a bird just sitting in its nest, should you chase it just to check if there's eggs, or you have to know there's eggs there already?
In other words, a person could check, a person could look to see.
Concerning about planning, like living here in the city, you're not likely to encounter, could a person take a trip to the country with that in mind? Is that considered planning? Now?
The answer is, I'm not familiar with all the intricacies of these laws, but in Yerodeh there is a whole siman there, that with laws of Shiloh HaKan, and this is a mitzvah in the Torah, we should all consider it our business to get to know all 613 mitzvahs thoroughly, to get to know how to perform them. This is definitely one of the 613 mitzvahs which we hope Hashem will give us the privilege of performing.
Isn't that only if you want the nest?
Excuse me?
Only if you want the young birds?
Also true. In other words, but again, there's a whole chapter in Shulchan Aruch, rather than guess and say something that won't be accurate, I want to mention that there's a chapter in Yerodeh that deals with all of these halachos. Okay.